Well, hi, welcome to the Christian Contrast, where we talk about how walking with Jesus leads us to live differently than the world around us. I'm Dan, and here with special guest Lori Baez.
Hello.
Our pastor over Life Kids.
Yep.
We are going to be talking together about the third habits of the household that we've been going through as a church. And for anybody listening to this who either follows the podcast or is a part of our church, this is something that we started a year ago.
Yeah.
But in recent months, we've been given focus to these five habits that we're not trying to be legalistic about them, but we're trying to say, man, if we are looking to raise kids, both in our families and then within our church, who stay with Jesus for the long haul and walk with him, what are things we can do that move the needle?
Yeah.
Yeah, and these five habits, not things that we came up with.
Things
that data people came up with and said these seem to really make a difference. Mm-hmm. And so we're talking through them one by one. We're on the third habit today. And the third habit is about having one spiritual experience in the home each week.
Yes.
Now this is a way I've liked to start. And if you're listening to this, we have past episodes where we've gone through the first two. The way I always like to start with this is just for us to take a little bit of time to try to talk together about why does this seem to be something that does move the needle? That for a kid who's grown up sort of in a Christian home, going to church services, but isn't experiencing this versus a kid who is experiencing this, why does this seem to move the needle where kids that experience this really stick with Jesus, stick with the church and walk with Jesus for the long haul? So what are your thoughts on why this seems to be a difference maker?
Well, I think one of the biggest difference makers is sometimes, especially kids when they're so concrete in what they're thinking, is that it can be one of those things where kids are like, this is what we do on Sundays and we do this when we're at church, versus this is what we do every day on a daily basis, and this is something that is a personal relationship that we experience in the community of our own sort of nucleus family, right? Mm-hmm. And also in the community of the church body as a whole. And so I feel like when we transfer something that only happens at church, at a location, at a specific time, to in your home as part of this is what we do in our lives every day, that's a big transitional shift.
Yeah, and I agree. And that was kind of the first thing that came to my mind also in reflecting on this was just the idea of, does God live at church? And even if you're a kid and you like church and you enjoy it, just sort of the idea of, does God live at church? Is that where these things are sort of relegated to versus the idea of saying, as I grow, and even setting with our kids a model to say, I have opportunities to connect with God not just on Sunday morning,
right?
But in my everyday life, with my family, when I'm reading the Bible, when I'm singing songs of worship, when I'm having time of prayer, and also just recognizing that we both are pastors at church. We are big fans of the local church,
right?
We believe in this,
absolutely,
and the significance. But man, throughout the Bible, the major onus of the spiritual development of the kids is put on parents.
Yes.
Yeah, you think about that, you know, Ephesians 6, you know, train up your, bring up your children in the fear or kind of the training and the instruction of the Lord. Going back to Deuteronomy 6, where he says, you know, these commands are to be on your heart, teach them to your children, impress them on your children.
Right.
And so part of the whole thing with this is to say, God has revealed to us the real onus of this, the real burden, you know, that can be a negative word, but just the real burden of this falls to parents even more so than the church.
Yeah, absolutely. As I was just kind of preparing for us to chat about all this, I was looking at Proverbs 22nd, you know, set your child in these directions. Paraphrasing, but, and that in their future.
Which, by the way, upcoming sermon on that verse in a couple of months.
Yeah. So just all of those things of placing that responsibility on the family and the parents, I think just as in many other aspects of our lives, parents are responsible to model what is to happen in your lives and what are the things that are of value for your family. And that shouldn't be limited with this, where it's like, oh, well, this is the one thing that only the church handles. Mm-hmm. It should be something that, no, church is a part of, but we are definitely, this is a priority in our home every day, not just on Sundays.
Yeah. And I know, you know, you've got a kid in college, another one that's getting ready to graduate high school and head off. My oldest son is in college. and just looking at that transition, obviously they can still, and Matt has got involved in a church, yeah, you know, out there, but just the idea of saying, if you've grown up in it with some stability in basically the same church for your mm-hmm. whole life, and suddenly you're going to be away from that because you're moving or you're away at college, just even that, having the idea that my relationship with God, first of all, is not only about the church, but maybe even more specifically, is not only about that church.
Correct.
So that then when I move, I have the idea of I have this relationship with God that's with me everywhere I go, that that facilitates getting involved in a church, but also that it's something deeper, mm-hmm. that it's a yeah. deeper walk that we have with the Lord.
Absolutely. And I'm sure you have seen this with Matt, like you alluded, but it was something very exciting. There for a little bit with Nick, he floundered a little trying to figure out what the next step was and where he was going to be. And part of that had to do with COVID too.
Mm. Yeah, the timing was tough when he went off to college.
When he went off. Yeah. But in the end, even with that, it was very exciting to see him be able to lean on what had been poured into him and him find his own way. And now he's plugged into a church and he is part of the youth group and helping with the kids there. And it is now his own wow. spiritual walk, not under me anymore yeah. or under us. And that's something very exciting to see as well.
It is. And you know, and both of us would say, hey, like, you know, like, God has taken our kids on a journey. There's going to be lots of ups and downs. But like what we're talking about right now with both Nick and Matt is like, man, that's what we want. Like right. that's what we want to see for all the kids who are a part of our church, for all the Christian kids, that they have a faith that's their own, that of course there's going to be ups and downs and bumps yes. along the way, but that they're making that transition of sort of this is my family's faith to this is my faith.
Right.
So we'll in a little bit, we'll talk about some things that you're doing through the ministry, through the Life uh-huh. Kids ministry, but we're also both parents. Yeah. And so let's just talk a little bit about what maybe you can answer first. What are some things that you've tried within your own family mm-hmm. to try to cultivate this idea of what we're calling a spiritual experience in the home?
Yeah. I think, you know, when your kids are young, sometimes it's a little bit easier to make those things happen, just schedules and the dynamics. But I think as a whole, there's a myriad of very simple things. And I am a big advocate of keeping it simple. I think one of the biggest things that parents do, including myself, is we overcomplicate things. And so some of the things that we did in our own home were just simple things like even driving in the car and talking about the beautiful mountains and the snow and God's amazing creation and kind of developing a conversation that's just sort of short, organic, but bringing God into the conversations for those things. I think other things of just when they're talking about their day, taking a moment to praise God for the good things or to pray for the person, their friend at school that's been sick. Like those are very easy, simple, organic things that just naturally happen. That's like, this is what we do as a family. And then there's more structured things like Bible memorization or reading scripture or doing devotions or praying before bedtime. Like all of those things are just, if you're not doing any of those, you don't have to try and tackle all of them. Yeah. Pick one, right?
Yeah. When I love what you're saying, I mean, I'm, you know, you had me at simplicity. You know, for better or worse, I think that that's such a significant thing. And you're also right in saying that there's things we can do at all ages. But man, when the kids are young, there's real fertile ground to mm-hmm. be able to do. You know, like my youngest now is 12 and his schedule. And we're, you know this about the Franklin family. We are pretty like, we do not run ourselves ragged. We're a bit more low energy than maybe the average SoCal family. But still, we're at a stage where we're like, man, yeah. family time is much harder to come by when you get into the teenage years because your kids have activities, which are good, and right. they're more independent with friends, which is good. But man, when the kids were young, one of the things that we used to do a lot was we would go on walks just around the neighborhood. Yeah. And it kind of morphed a little bit where I would start and I would call them thankfulness walks, and we would just take turns. If it was all five of us, which sometimes it was, and sometimes it was just a chunk of us, we'd take turns during the walk with each person saying, I'm thankful for. And then we made a shift at some point of saying, you know, we actually get to talk to God about this. So we shifted from I'm thankful for to God, thank you so much for.
Right.
And it was a simple thing. And it would be funny because at first, you know, the kids would be like, I got nothing. And you'd say, think of something. And then they would be thanking God for, like you were talking about, for the mountains. And then suddenly for our house and for one another and for our church and for our friends. And it was just a beautiful thing to be able to cultivate that. And then I think, I know probably in the other episodes we've talked about this, but I think when they're young, but even later on, dinner time and bedtime are just two times where you have real opportunities for that connection.
Uninterrupted.
Yes. Yeah, well, sometimes when they're young, sometimes they don't want bedtime to end.
Right.
So sometimes you have to actually extricate, dragging it out.
And for teenage, like one of my favorite times, this kind of sounds funny, is when we'd be in the car. Because that was a time that they're sort of trapped with
captive
you, right?
Audience.
It's a captive audience. And those were times to have some deep, rich conversations where you just kind of turn down the radio and, hey, how about, you know.
Now, here's what I'm curious, because I totally agree with what you're talking about, that the car can be a good time. Does Lori Baez have some go-to questions that were fruitful and helpful in those times?
I think a lot of times, I believe timing is everything with teenagers. And so sometimes it would be like there would be a difficult, pertinent thing that they were going through or talking about that they had naturally brought up. And then that would be something that you would say, how can we turn this over to God? How do you want him to help, but how can you lift this burden off of you onto God, right? So sometimes it's something like that. Other times it would just be like, so what do your friends think about X, Y, and Z? Whether that is whatever hot topic it is. And then that can gradually, even if it's on topics of dating or different things, then you can graduate and be like, okay, but what does God, what does our faith say about that? What is countercultural about this? And start to talk to him in that way, sort of the worldly versus how God guides you. And even talk about, is that difficult? Because I think as they get into teenage, there's that struggle. You so badly want to fit in, and yet God's calling you to do something different. And so how do you navigate that? And what are the struggles that are there?
Oh, those are good. I mean, I like that because the car time can be really valuable. Mm-hmm. You know, just even the dropping off at school, the taking to sports. I think I agree with what you said before about the simplicity idea. I mean, I think especially when the kids were young, but some of this is stuff we're still doing right now, would just be to be around the dinner table, to read a passage, or sometimes have one of the kids read a passage and just, you know, the phrase that I still say today is I say, everybody listen and everybody have something to say.
Yeah.
And it can be real simple. Or it can get into complex conversations. And one of the things that's happened as a result of that is that our kids frequently, after that time, as we're talking about, will say, I need to be reading the Bible more, which has been exciting to see, like, this time in the Bible gave them a taste for more.
Right.
And then just praying with kids at bedtime. At other times, too, but just the bedtime prayer. It's been interesting because even as our kids got into the teenage years, that still has been important to them.
Right.
You know, I kind of thought that, you know, like, do we still do this? Are they kind of like, what are you doing? But really, like, they'll frequently come and say, like, hey, who's going to come pray with me now? Yeah. And so to see that and just to have, and the way that we do that, as soon as the kids were still pretty young, instead of just us praying, it was, you know, hey, I pray and you pray, or you pray and I pray.
Right.
And so just having that moment right there, which is like simple things, because I think things like you're saying, there are occasions that come up, There are discipline issues that come mm-hmm. up, and sometimes the discipline issues are golden opportunities to have a spiritual experience because you're talking about forgiveness, you're talking about what Jesus has done for us, you know, all of these things come up, but just sort of the intentional planning of what are the rhythms in our lives where it's not just on Sundays, as important as Sundays are, but throughout our week, we're having these times that we're connecting with the Lord, and I don't need to wait for Sunday to have that connection with the Lord.
And I think one of the important things to kind of keep in mind, which we're alluding to it through all of this, is practice, right? Even when you were talking about your walk and like you started out, I'm thankful for, and then changing that over, when you practice these certain things, it becomes easier.
Yeah.
You are able to become more thankful. Your mind starts to think about those things, and it can play out in other areas as well, whether that is praying out loud, being thankful. But it starts out as a practice, right? And for kids, sometimes I also think parents can get discouraged because they're silly or they're praying for their dolls or their dog, or you're like, this isn't quite exactly what I'm going for. But you have to keep in mind, that's the practice.
Yeah.
And as they practice and you model, then they're able to learn and sort of shift and change and grow from that. And so I think that's one of the biggest important things, is to be able to just not worry about, is it done right? Yeah. But it's being done.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. There's definitely a sowing and reaping, because it can be easy for us to get discouraged.
Yeah.
And even to say, you know, well, I tried that.
Right.
Like, it didn't really work out. This is like a pet peeve for me sometimes with my kids, where I'll be like, well, have you done this? Well, I tried it. And I'm like, what does that mean? I mean, like, one time you like half-heartedly attempted this, and then you assume like maybe you need to keep trying. It's the same thing if somebody was saying like, I'm overweight. Like, well, what about exercise? Well, I tried that. We'd be like, well, maybe you need to try again. Yeah. Like, maybe,
did you really lean in?
Yeah, just sort of like, I did 5 push-ups and no weight came off. Yeah. And you're like, all right.
And
so I think that this is true, where when you start anything new, it's probably not going to go awesome.
No.
Like, I mean, the first time we did the thankfulness walks, it felt like, you know, I was torturing the kids to get them to say mm-hmm. something. But after a while, it became something where I almost didn't need to say anything. We'd start on the walk and I almost didn't need to say anything. And they'd say, all right, we're doing the thankfulness walk, right?
And then once in a while, it sneaks in, right? Where they're like, well, why aren't we doing?
Yes.
And where you're like, oh, you might act like you are so annoyed by this, but yet they're finding fruit and value in it.
That they're like, hey, you're spiritually neglecting me. Why aren't we going to do that thing?
Aren't we going to do that? Right?
Yeah.
So I think just for parents, I want to be able to encourage them, because it doesn't always look like it's going to in your head, or how it goes down, and you can't make that the marker of like, I either didn't do this right or it's not successful. There are times that we all have to lean in. We learn and grow.
Yeah.
They're learning and growing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, with that said, you've made it kind of an intentional effort within Life Kids to try to help grease the wheels in this area, to try to help provide easy, straightforward opportunities for families to have this. And so I'd love for you just to talk a little bit about some of the things that you've tried and some of the resources that you've looked to provide to help families do this during their week.
Yeah. So I would say the 3 main ones that are just ongoing regular resources that are easy at your fingertips is, every month we have a Bible verse that we're working with the kids to memorize. So, and that's on our website that you can see, and the parents can grab that and utilize that. Use that as the verse that you talk about for the month, or pray over, or those sorts of things. The other thing is there is a take-home sheet that has like 3 or 4 simple questions, and the verse that we focused on, and the Bible story that we talked about for every Sunday. So if you want to incorporate that, into your weekly conversations. It's something that you can jump off of and mm-hmm. not create from scratch, because they've already talked about it on Sundays when they were at church. And then the last thing is we offer where parents can sign up to get a text message that has a whole review that actually breaks it down into different age groups. So if you have kids that are in fifth grade, second grade, and TK, say, it has specific sections for each one of those. So even at the dinner table, it would be really easy to ask one child from one section, one child from another section that's age appropriate for them. And then, you know, if you're not knowing where to start, it's all just laid out right there for you.
Yeah. And that's so helpful, because I think there is this, a lot of us have kind of this paralysis when we're trying to figure out, like, how do I start this sort of thing? How do I get into this? So to have a resource, and again, to have this where if the kids were at Life Kids that Sunday, there's something that can, I think, happen even cool for them, where they feel like, oh, I'm almost the expert on this right now. Right. Like, I was there. Exactly. I'm familiar. Like, my parents are asking me, but I get to tell them something about this.
Yes.
What a great thing to feel like, okay, if you're a little daunted by this, to say, here's something that just gives you a framework to get started in this.
Right. Yeah. And I believe that the other encouragement is many times these conversations that start out with something on paper are going to take a turn to something different that was unexpected, but deep and rich and valuable for your family. And the other thing, I really believe that this brings your families together. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes on Sundays it can feel segmented, right?
Sure.
Parents are here, children are here, and it's segmented. But now you're coming together as this small community amongst the big community.
Yeah. No, that's great. I love that. And so if a parent's listening to this and saying, gosh, where have I been? I clearly have not even been aware that this has been an option. What would be the way that they could start getting in on this?
The easiest way is to go to our website, lbf.church. And if you go to the kids page, it will have what number, and you text Life Kids if you want to receive the text message. It has our Instagram handle if you want to be able to follow us on Instagram. And then it has the remember verse. It's like all encapsulated in one section right there for them.
That's perfect. Because I would imagine there probably are, like you said, things can be kind of segmented. And even though we don't use the term childcare,
right?
Because Life Kids is not childcare. It can be easy to go in, like, hey, I drop off my kids, I go to the church service, but to see, gosh, there's this resource at our fingertips right here. I think a lot of parents could really benefit from that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I would love that, because I find that parents that start to do that and know what their kids are doing, they just become genuinely more invested in what is happening in their kids' spiritual lives on Sunday at the church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a great touch point. Well, I think both of us probably in some ways have already given some encouragement with this, but for the last thing that I want to talk about is just what would be the points of encouragement that we would want to give to any listeners right now who either feel like, all right, I'm at zero with this, or gosh, I really want to do this, but I just, there's some level of stuckness or confusion or just not quite sure where to go next.
Yeah. I think if you are at ground zero, pick one thing. I tend to be the one that's
18 things.
We're going to pray every night. We're going to have dinner. Like, I stack on five things. Pick one thing, whether that is we're going to focus on prayer, or we're going to have one night a week that we have a conversation, like, pick one thing and just lean into that. When you make a mistake, or if you miss or get, just restart. Yeah. Like, don't beat yourself up. Just begin again and press in. If you feel like you're stuck, I guess my recommendation would be to change it up a little bit. If what you're doing just feels like you're coming up against a wall and it's not working, maybe instead you're going to say, I'm going to do a prayer walk. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to go ahead and focus on asking my kids to lead the devotion for the dinner table. or just little tweaks of maybe giving your kids more responsibility in whatever that is, whether they pray over you or whatever, instead of you always being the initiator. And then, like I said, just maybe change it up for a little bit.
Yeah. No, yeah. I think that's great. And it's great encouragement. And also that reminder of there's going to need to be some perseverance with this. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to be clunky at the start. The yep. kids might even... try to pull off a coup, like what's going on here? What's happening with all this?
There may be some eye rolling.
That's true. but just to be willing to go with that. And again, to say, all right, that there probably is a point where you could say, all right, we've done this long enough that this isn't working. We'll try something else. But sometimes you got to just give it some mm-hmm. time before you end up coming to that point. And then the thing I'd say just to supplement what you were saying is to maybe start by looking at what are the rhythms in your household that yeah. are already there. You know, you mentioned a couple of times sort of the car rides. And so yes. you might look at it instead of saying, all right, we need to invent a new family event. You might be able to look at it and say, we've already got some of these things worked in. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're like, we already do a bedtime routine. It involves reading, you know, The Cat in the Hat or something like right. that. So we've already got that there. I can now bring this in.
Yeah,
or we already have that. The car ride. We already do a walk, but it's just kind of a walk where we do something else. So to say, we usually do have some of these family rhythms that are already there and the prime times are sitting there. So instead of saying, we're going to add a new thing, to say, we're going to use what we've already got and yes. make this an opportunity for a spiritual connection, for a spiritual experience with the kids. And I know you mentioned it, but I feel like I've really seen this with my family, and I've heard others say this. What you said about the whole idea of you think the kids aren't into it, and suddenly they reveal yes. that it's important uh-huh. to them. It's like, especially as kids get a little bit older. When kids are young, they want to please you and all right. that. When kids get older, they kind of want you to think that they don't really think you're that important. But sometimes that comes out and you sort of realize, I had no idea this was something that was bearing fruit. And suddenly correct. You get the reminder that it does.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Yes. Just it doing already the rhythm
yeah.
and adding a spiritual element. That is exactly how I feel like is the best way yeah. where you don't get overwhelmed and discouraged.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it is that, I mean, I know we've said it multiple times now, but just to simplify, to start, mm-hmm. we talk about this at the church when it comes to giving. Some people are like, how do I go from 0 to 10%? And I'm always like, start giving 1%.
1%
like,
at a time.
Like, yeah. And, how do I go from never reading my Bible to reading it every day? I'm like, start reading twice a week. Like,
right.
And so just the whole idea of saying, man, don't try to go to 0 to 60. Take that next step of obedience before the Lord and see the fruit that comes yeah. from that.
And that's what we're talking about when it's practice.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Lori, I so appreciate you sharing personally. And also I so appreciate what you're doing, just being on the front lines with our kids and really helping our parents, making it where when we're talking about doing this, there's a format that's right there if somebody feels stuck. I think that that's so valuable.
No, it's very exciting to me. And that's part of the part of my job that I love is when I can see parents and I are coming alongside each other yeah. for the growth of our kids, because that's what we want, is for them to become spiritually mature in their faith. So absolutely. It's very exciting.
Well, thanks. And thank you for taking the time to watch this or to listen to this. We've talked about this throughout this episode, but this is the third of 5 episodes that we're going to do about this subject, about these habits of the household. So next month in April, we'll be back with the 4th habit. And if you found this helpful and this is the first one of these that you've listened to, you can look back at back episodes. All the episodes of The Christian Contrast are on our YouTube channel for Life Bible Fellowship Church and also on our website, lbf.church. So you can find a whole bunch of other episodes, including the 2 previous ones that we've done about this subject. We do an episode of The Christian Contrast every 2 weeks. And so we'll be back 2 weeks from now with a new episode. Until then, thanks so much for taking the time to listen.